أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. سورة الانشقاق verses 7 onwards. فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا. Then as for him who is given his record in his right hand, he shall soon receive an easy reckoning and will return to his folks joyfully. We discussed about the concept of meeting the Lord and then the concept of the book. Now, this book is unfolded for us in different ways. Here the Quran categorizes this very simply. If you are given it in your right hand, then you are prosperous, you have succeeded. If you are given in your left hand or from behind your back, then you have failed and you will be miserable. The idea of right and left, as we have discussed before several times, denotes the idea of good luck and bad luck, being doing good and doing bad. And therefore here it means that if overall, if some of your actions, your thoughts, your deeds in this world is good, therefore you have a prosperous life throughout in your journey and afterwards, and at the end you will be given a pass mark, and that is the meaning of your book given to your right hand. And vice versa, if the overall record is bad and you have failed, you are given your book in your left hand. There might be, of course this is a metaphorical language, but there might be more real things into it which might need more investigation, but up till now no exegete has really come up with more solid explanation for this this metaphor of right and left. However, from behind the back, yes, there is evidence in the Quran that we can interpret it in a more solid way. Now, as soon as your book is unfolded, is given to you, we mentioned last in our previous session that the book is always with us. However, that book unfolds for us. It comes to realization. We see it open and we see whatever is through it. If the book is given while we have passed, while we have been successful, then it says, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. He shall soon receive an easy reckoning. This sawfa, of course, usually in Arabic language, we have two very common signs for future, two common letters and words used for the notion of future. One is seen and the other is sawfa. Now, sawfa denotes a sort of more distant future. And therefore, we understand from this that there is a distance in time, there is a gap in time between when we receive the book and when the hisab comes. فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Soon he will be given a very easy reckoning. It might mean that after the book is given to us, well, we are told, اقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Read your book. We are given some time to digest it, to analyze it. As I said, it's not just remembering what we have done. It is the full unfolding, realization of our actions, our deeds in that stage of creation, in that stage of life. And therefore, we need some time to digest this, to judge ourselves. And then there is hisab and judgment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which comes. Now, the book given to us is very disappointing for everyone. except for awliya, which might not be given a book at all. It's disappointing because we see lots of sins, lots of slips, lots of forgetfulness. And they have come along to that stage with us and would show itself as something very horrifying to us. And everyone would be afraid of that hisab when Allah is coming to judge. What will happen? What will come to them? Here it says, for those who are given the book from their right hand to their right hand, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. The reckoning would be very easy. Now, in one tradition, we have an explanation for this, which I think is probably the best explanation. The tradition says that the hisab would be like this. It is a one-to-one sort of hisab. It's a court in which there is only the judge and the sort of person, the accused, who is being judged. And probably at this stage, there is no witnesses at all. The witnesses have already given their witness. So there is only the person created by God and the God the Creator who gives this hisab, who makes this hisab counting. The tradition says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, my servants, Abdi, you did such and such, in such and such day, such and such time, such and such moment. And the person says, yes, I'm shameful. And again, all these are mentioned one by one. And the person says, yes, I'm shameful. I'm ashamed for what I did. And then Allah says, okay, go. I turn all these wrongdoings, sayyat, to good things, to hasanat. You will enjoy it when you see. Have a look again. Have another look in your book now. And when the person gives another look to the book, he would be amazed or she would be amazed. How come? Everything is now clear. Everything is nice. Even the sins I did have now turned into hasanat. And this is, of course, this goes under the verse, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Allah will change the سَيِّئَاتِ to حَسَنَاتٍ. And then when the person returns, there's an idea of going to this church alone and then returning from him and seeing everyone and being seen by everyone again. So there's a disappearance of the person on that day where no one can see him anymore and he can see no one anymore. It's only him and God. And then there's a return of that person. And that person, after this book is given to him, it becomes part of his existence. Because that book was the book of his existence, his personality. And then everyone can see that book. Can see that the book is quite clear, white. Everything in it is beautiful, nice. Nothing wrong is in it. And therefore this person, as you have in Surah Haqqah, فَيَقُولُ هَاُمْ اَقْرَأُوا كِتَابِيَ. When he returns, he asks everyone to come and look at him. Look at his book. It's very nice. It's very beautiful. No sin. Nothing to cover anymore. And this is the meaning, according to that tradition, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. He will be given a very easy judgment, a very easy counting. And that easy counting is more than what we would expect, what one would expect, changing evil to good. So, if the book is given while a person is in that state, overall is good. And this is for mu'mineen, of course. In many, many verses we have, this is for mu'mineen. فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. He shall soon receive an easy reckoning. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He will return to his fold joyfully. As we said, there is a disappearance and then returning to the fold. Now, this fold, of course, who his fold is, certainly not those who are going to go to hell. A person might lose all his family on that day. And this is a clear loss because everyone would love that to have all their family with them in paradise, to live again together, a reunion of all members of a family even those who we have not seen, our grandfathers, for example. Is that the meaning of ahlihi? It is possible. Returning to people who he met as soon as they died, they met all their families, all their folk, and then they traveled together. Now he disappears and comes back to them. Or it means anyone that he lives with under his, with the company of them in paradise under one roof. When we say one roof, of course, there are different palaces, different mansions, many things that the person might have in paradise, but they all live in communion together. There is this social life, there is this family life. In parallel, of course, it's quite different. That family life is quite different from the family life that we have here in this world. We don't know what is the nature, how it is going to be, but we know that Quran mentions this in several occasions. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Those who believe, and their progeny has also followed them in faith. Then, of course, we will rejoin them together in paradise. The dhurriyatun, the progeny, will come back to them. And you will see a very, very distanced grandfather or grandmother of you, and you feel how much you love them and how much they love you. These affections, relations, bonds will change to something much, much more meaningful than we know in this world. So it might mean the family, it might mean anyone, even if not one member of the family could make it to paradise, there is still a big communion for him from or for her from people who will join them from this world, or the creatures which are created in paradise for them. So ينغلبوا إلى أهله مسرورا, certainly to paradise. وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره. But as for him who is given his record from behind his back, this is بشماله, of course. This explains a little bit the idea of يمين and شمال. I tell you how it explains now. This journey of us from this world towards meeting our Lord is always a journey ahead. We leave each stage to go to another stage. Again, we leave that stage to go to a higher stage. And people who feel that they are in loss as these stages go further and further, they always regret what they have done in the past. They always have an eye to what went wrong before. Have an eye on when they were quite free to decide and they did not decide. When they were quite free to act and they did not act. And they acted wrongly. So they always have this look towards this world, dunya. In Surah Hadid, we have this verse, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبَعِيمَانِهِمْ. You will see on that day, on a day will come, that مُؤْمِنُونَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ would have lights going before them and on their right side. Again, this أيمان, يمين, we have it here. They are always looking forward, not backwards. مُؤْمِنُونَ always are looking forward, because the light, what they have done, their personality always sheds light, projects forward to go and see the Lord and then to go to paradise. Yes, anuruhum bayna aydihim wa ba'imanihim bushraakum al-yawma jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhaar. And then it says yawma yaqulu al-munafiqun wal-munafiqat. On that day the hypocrites would say to mu'minun, انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم. Let us get some light from you. We also used your light to come forward, to know where to go. قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فَالْتَمِزُونُهَا. They are told, go back and bring light. You cannot use any other person's light in this world. And therefore, this wara, this behind, is always a point where these people are thinking about. And we have in many, many verses that on the day of judgment, on the day of death, on the day of judgment, on different stages, even in the hell, the disbelievers would say that, take us back to the world for only a few minutes, few hours, so that we do something good and bring it. And of course, there is no way. قَالَ رَبَّ الْجَعُونَ, I swear you by God, return me, the person tells to the angels. قَالَ رَبَّ الْجَعُونَ, لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ, so that I may do something good in what I have left behind in the world, in my life. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ غَائِلُهَا. Now this is a word, he says, it's impossible. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَقٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. There is a wall, there is a barrier, they never can go back in that way. And therefore, the people who go for judgment, when they receive their book, still they have a look at their back. Still they are thinking about this world. Still they are thinking about things which went in this world. And this is when even they are giving their book, their faces are turned back to this world. They are given their personality. وَرَاءَ ذَحْرِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا. He will pray for annihilation. Soon he will pray. This soon means when Hisab comes. They are given the book, they analyze it, they digest it, they analyze their personality, and then when the Hisab comes, when Allah comes and says, okay, I'm not going to forgive any of these. I'm not going to turn any of these into good, because it's impossible for you. I'm not going to cover any of these. Because for Allah, for the believers, it is possible to turn evil to good. As we said before, Allah will forgive and forgive and forgive as long as it is possible, as long as the sin and evil has not become part of our personality. بَلَى مَنْ كَتَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Anyone who has done something wrong, who has earned evil, and the evil of this evil has surrounded them in a way that it is impossible for it to be separated from them, then of course they will go to hell. Now, here, as soon as he sees that it is impossible for him to get rid of these consequences, and usually these consequences are the hisab itself. It's just, when we go to hisab, we just hope that Allah would cover those consequences. And that is the easy reckoning, if Allah does it. And this is something before which no one can enter paradise. You have seen, reading the Quran in many, many different verses of the Quran, for the people who want to go to paradise, Allah mentions, before يُكَفِّرُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ, Allah would cover for them their evils. Cover for them their evils perpetually. The actions that we do, the way we think, the way we intend, all of these would have real existence outside us. We don't see them. And this would form our book. And when we die, we see some of it. When we go to different stages on the day of judgment, it unfolds for us, it unfolds itself for us little by little, gradually, until we are given the book in full, then it unfolds. Now, these consequences are real existences. Nothing could be done about it. It's always with us. It's on our neck. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. It's on our neck. We cannot do anything about it. Unless if God, somehow, through His mercy, covers it for us. And He does. And forever we do not see them anymore, although they exist. Allah would cover. يُكَفَّرُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتٍ. كَفَّرَ means covering. This, of course, is something which is according to the way Allah has created this world. In this beautiful, beautiful verse in Surah Ar-Rahman, وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ, He has raised the heavens, built the heavens, and put down the scale. And in this contrast of Rafa, raising, and Waq, putting down, there is the beauty of eloquence of the Quran that we will see. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ, He has created the creation and has put down the scale. And that's the scale of justice. أَلَّا تَتَقَوْ فَالْمِيزَانِ, so that you would not exceed in this balance of justice. We have in Hadith, بِالْعَادْلَ قَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ, it is through the justice that the heavens and the earth is persisting, is created. And this system of justice, if it is tipped, if the injustice somehow imbalances the justice, then the whole creation would be destroyed, unless Allah would stop, do something about it. And this is what is mentioned in many, many different verses of the Quran. وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا, if Allah really wants to let these consequences to come to us, if Allah really wants this wrongdoing to affect us, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ذَهْرَهَا مِنْ دَابَّ, no living being would be left on this plane. Everything would have been destroyed. Because this system is a very, very accurate system. It works in a way that any act would have the consequences of it attached to it coming to us, whether good or evil. مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ, whatever inflicts you on this earth, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, is the outcome of what you do, either personally or communally, as a community. And when, of course, that evil consequences of a communal wrongdoing comes, then it would hit everyone. It would hit the good and bad. And therefore, any consequence that comes back to you is because of what you have done. However, Allah would not allow this to tip the balance. He wants this life to continue. If he had he not done anything about it, everything would have been destroyed. However, ما أصابكم in Surah Shura من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير, He forgives many, many things. You would not see how Allah is acting in this world, not letting this balance to be tipped so that the world is destroyed because of our wrongdoings. Now, here, the kuffar, what they expect is that for them as well, Allah covers those consequences. This jaza is not something out of revenge. It's not conventional. Usually, in this world, when we punish or when we reward, it's because we want to prevent further things. There is no further thing here. Therefore, there is no prevention of sin or crime in this type of punishment. There is nothing going to be after this. And therefore, it is something quite real. It's not a convention. It's not for preventing a further crime or sin. It's the consequences of the actions which come. Now, these kuffar would hope, like the believers, who had a very, very easy reckoning, would hope that Allah would do it for them as well. But they don't know that they don't have that core which could hold all those mercy of Allah for them, attached to them. And therefore, when they see this, فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا, they wish that they were perished. They pray for annihilation. That's how good if we were just destroyed, if we die right now. But they know that there is no death after this. There is no death on that day. After we are raised from our grave, then there is no death. It is just eternality which comes to us. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا, and he will enter the blaze. Now, here there is a very clear-cut categorization. The believers are given their books in their right hand. The wrongdoers are given their books to their left hand. What about the believers who were sinful? Of course, not sinned to the extent that could have been covered. Very, very major sins. Sins which would have been negligence of their faith, actually. What about them? Now, some editors say that this is a very simple picture that Allah has given us. There are many, many different methods in which a person might receive their book, but is not mentioned here. Different ways, different categories which are between these two, which is not mentioned here, and therefore we don't know about many, many people. Those who had not believed because, for example, they had not received any message from God. Those who could not make it because they were in a society which did not allow them, for example, to have faith, in the sense that all arguments came against them and they could not resist it. What about them? Well, one thing we can say is that, as I said, it's the overall sum of all these factors which would determine whether we receive our book in our right hand or in our left. And therefore, it might be a quite inclusive categorization. The overall sum of whatever factor was involved would determine the way we receive our book. Now, here, after he says, وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا, he would enter the blaze. There are a couple of reasons that Allah mentions here. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Now, this is a very nice symmetry here, because for those who are given the book in their right hand, يَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, they return to their folk very joyfully. Here it says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He was already masrur, joyful, among his folk. Now, fi ahlihi, certainly it means in this world. When he was with his folk in this world, he was very, very happy. Now, this joyfulness, of course, joyfulness is not something bad. It's good to be happy. However, we have a concept of joyfulness and happiness which is rejected in the Quran. And that is farah. Farah is in several occasions has been condemned by the world, and that is to become overwhelmed by the ni'mah of Allah in this world, to become so happy of this world so that they forget akhirah, they forget their Lord. And this is the meaning of farah. About Qarun, who was overjoyful about what he had acquired in terms of wealth and power, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ أهله لا تفرح قومه لا تفرح. إذ قال له قومه لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين. When his people, his folk, which were probably Musa and Harun, because he was a cousin of Musa, they told him, do not be overjoyful, because Allah does not like those who are overjoyful. Overjoyful over what? Over the boundaries of this world. Because that would block the way to think about akhirah, to think about other things. And here it says, this person has the same attitude in this world. Now, from what we really gather in different instances where the Ashabul Nar, people of the hell, are explained to us, we realize that these are not ordinary sinners. These are really, really evil people who go to perpetually live in hell, unless something might happen and the evil could have been separable from their souls, and so that they could come out of it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, indeed he used to be joyful among his folk. إِنَّهُ ذَنَّ أَلَّنْ يَهُ. Two reasons, and I think these two reasons are quite enough for someone to go to hell. First of all, to be overwhelmed by this world, forgetting the hereafter, and then to reject a judgment, which is part of our fitrah, to reject a return to God and to be resurrected, which is again something, a knowledge Allah has somehow tuned to our nature, has made it part of human nature. Many of us believe in the Day of Judgment without knowing why. Believe in a judgment, believe that Allah is watching. And this is something very, very deep installed in human inner nature. Now, anyone denying this, and in the Quran in many places it says, they reject us, وَالْكَذَّبُوا بِالسَّاعَةِ, they deny the moment of resurrection. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِمَنْ كَذَّبَ بِالسَّاعَةِ سَعِيرًا, and we have prepared for anyone who denies that moment of resurrection a blaze. So what he was doing, he indeed thought that he would never return. Then has two meanings, a guess and conjecture or thought, and the second meaning is to be certain about something, yaqeen. Now many of us, this thought comes sometimes to our mind that, well, is it really true? It's very improbable. It doesn't seem real. Is it really true? Are we going to be resurrected? Inshallah, Allah would forgive this for us, because these are the whispers of shaitan coming to our hearts. However, those who certainly reject it, by certainty they say, there is no such a thing. Well, who knows? Why you certainly reject it? There is no reason that you should certainly. How do we know? We haven't seen how this world has started. How should we know how this world is going to end? So, usually, Ahlul Lugha, they say that there are two meanings for dhan. Dhanul Ihtimal wa Dhanul Yaqeen. Dhanul Ihtimal is just conjecture, probability. We usually think something might be the case. Dhanul Yaqeen is used in the Quran usually for Akhirah. And that means anyone who says, أَنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَةٍ, I was certain that I was going to see my account, then they would go to paradise. If someone for certainty say that, determine that there is no Day of Judgment, this rejection, which is completely against what Allah had installed in our soul, that would lead to hell. إِنَّهُ ذَنَّ أَنْ لَيَّهُ بَلَى إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Yes, indeed. His Lord sees him best. He sees the inner part of his soul. And this basira of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually prohibits that the person to be perished without any end, without any aim. And therefore, one should think about it, and it's just a sort of reasoning against the certainty that there will be no return. Yahur from Hara Yahuru, and Hawar and Muhawara is just exchange, return, and these things. So Bala inna Rabbahu kana bihi basira. Inshallah, we continue with this, not next week, the following week, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi wa sallam.
Wow. Thank you, Rajinji Sheikh. Now we have about 15 minutes for any discussion, question, answer. Sisters, any sisters? Any brothers here? Yeah. You mentioned that the awliya might not even get books. I mean, is there something either in the Quran or a hadith for this?
Yes, in Ahadith we have that awliya actually do not go through these things. Well, they have a book, certainly, but their hisab is quite different because there is nothing selfish in it. All these are for those who had a selfish type of attitude in this world, for the mu'minun who had a selfish attitude. But for awliya, things might be quite different. They didn't have anything but God, but direction of God. And therefore, we have in some traditions, and especially Allama Tabatabai in Al-Mizan mentioned in several places, that their case would be quite different. And in some verses of the Quran as well, for example, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. Those about whom our good word has passed, our good judgment has passed long before this, أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. They are quite far from all these events. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ حَسِيسَهَا. They do not hear even the lowest voice sound of the blade, which is usually heard on that day of judgment, and people are horrified by it. وَهُمْ فِي مَشْتَهَتْ أَنْفُسُهُمْ خَالِدُونَ. They are already in paradise. While people are going through all these, they are already in paradise. In fact, after they die, immediately they are taken to a place unknown for us, when all people are going through those stages. However, of course, again we can see that every human being should go through these stages. But how this tally with those traditions, we have to think deeper about it. But what we know for sure, that if someone is completely empty of their selfishness and are filled with love of God and with hope on God, reliance on God, then Allah would treat them completely differently from others.
Sheikh, we know that Allah would increase the reward for the good words, but when you say that Allah would change the sins into hasanat, how do you justify that? Because somebody who has done less evil will have less change into hasanat, and therefore have lost less.
Yeah, we better do more sins then, huh? No, of course, certainly those sins turned into hasanat would be much less worse than the hasanat being rewarded by Allah, or being somehow Allah make them grow, in a sense. And therefore, the people with sins which turn into hasanat have much, much lower level than the people who have not those sins and have hasanat right from the beginning. The reason these sins are turned into hasanat is because these are actually the components of the personality of a person. These are evils. And with that, a person cannot enter paradise. Paradise is a place of purity and pure people. And if Allah does not change it, then certainly what happens, almost no one would go to paradise, except awliya probably. No one would go to paradise. And therefore, to allow people to go to paradise, this change is necessary, and Allah would do it. But never they can be like those who have not committed these sins, have their hasanat. If he is the one who changes sayyat to hasanat, then what does he do with hasanat? That's not imaginable for us. So do not commit more sins.
I have a two-part question over here. I'm looking at it from the Sunni point of view, and clearly from the aspect that the accountability would mean that on your actions that you perform. But we also understand that you, before you're born, your deeds are written for you. And how does that account for the actions? If your deeds are written, obviously then your actions will be based on those deeds. I understand also that you've also been given your own knowledge and brain, which would reflect on your actions, final actions, though the deeds may have been written, but whether you reflected upon your knowledge and refrained from those actions would mean that you would probably be accounted on those accounts. The second part of this question, of course, is why does Allah send people to earth with those themes in the first place when he is going to take account of the people later on?
Well, the simple answer is that this is not the case. Oh, these are not written. And the whole confusion is because we cannot somehow make compromise between two things. One is that whatever goes in this world is by qadra and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the accountability, which needs the idea of justice. If everything is by qadra and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why should we be accountable? So, because we cannot somehow make compromise between these two things, which both of them are right, then we come to such conclusion saying that all our deeds are already written, and therefore we cannot do anything about it. Now, Allah rejects this in the Quran in many, many different places, that you are accountable for what you do. This is ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاكَ. This is what you have sent forward for yourself. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. We are not wrongdoers, we do not wrong anyone. If we accept this view, that these are written and we only have to come to this world to realize it and go, then of course Allah is wronging everyone, because this is not justice. What comes in qada and qadar is that He has decreed that the creation should be like this. There is a piece in Dua Kumal, we were discussing this the other day in Hawza. The piece in Dua Kumail, which says that إِلَهِ أَجْرَيْتَ عَلَيَّ حُكْمًا اتَّبَعْتُ فِيهَا هَوَى نَفْسِي. You have ruled something, you have legislated something, but instead of me following it, I followed my desire. اتَّبَعْتُ فِيهَا هَوَى نَفْسِي وَلَمْ أَحْتَرَسْ فِيهَا مَنْ تَزِينَ عَدُوِي. I did not take my guns against my enemy, which just decorated all these things for me. فَقَرَّنِي بِمَا أَهْوَى. He misled me as he wished. وَأَسْعَدَهُ عَلَى ذَلَكَ الْقَضَى. And your qadā helps him. Now, we might explain this as, for example, that yes, it was your wish that I should do it. It was qadā, I could do nothing about it. How, let's think about it another way, which is the right interpretation of this. أَسْعَدَهُ عَلَى ذَلَكَ الْقَضَى means that you had made the qadā, you had decreed that shaitan should have this freedom to do what he wants. And this qada of you made him powerful over me, and I could not resist him. So as'adahu ala dhalika al-qada, your qada helped him. It's not that you had decreed that I should sin. Now, this is of course an example which shows how usually we wrongly interpret all this. Yes, Allah has written for us that we have to come to this world, and this is his qada. There is no one could escape his qada. It's not free will. We have to come to this world. And his qada has given us a span of time to live in this world. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, whatever. This qada is a span of time. This span of time is his qada. We can do nothing about it. And this qada is actually who makes us to do sins. So his qada has left us to do whatever we want to do. His qada has left us to do good or to do evil. And in a sense, whatever we do is according to his qada. However, this qada is somehow, this involves our free will as well. Again, it is his qada that we have to have free will, that we have to acquire whatever we do through our free will. And again, it is his qada and qadar that if we wish to do something, he would somehow sign it to go, and it would go. He would give us the power to do it. And the confusion comes here. If this power is from Allah, so this is act of Allah, not our act. No, it is, the power is from Allah, but act is our act. We do it through his power. We do it through his permission and leave and approval. But he has approved it, and that's why it happens, but it doesn't mean that he has done it. We have done it, actually. We have acquired it. And this is something which there is some real good insight in this idea of kasb of Asha'ira. They have come very close to idea of Shia's free will, Amrun Bainul Amrain. La Jabra wa la Takbir wa Amrun Bainul Amrain. It's not, of course, force, it's not free will, it's something between them. And they have come to this idea of kasb, that yes, Allah has decreed this. And then if we perpetrate it, then we are accountable. If we sin, if we do not do it, then Allah would not punish us. Already He has written everything, but there is something, it's not right, but they have come somehow close to the idea. The Ash'arites, of course, they're very clever people, and they try to resolve these issues with some sort of philosophical reasoning, which were quite different from Ahlul Hadith, and also from Mu'tazila, who I think were not as clever as Ash'ara were in these discussions.
Thank you, any sisters? Yep.
The stage that we're talking about, the hisab and the accounting, is that before Shafa'at or does Shafa'at come after that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know where Shafa'ah would come in. Apparently Shafa'ah is the something which accompanies after we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Shafa'ah accompany us all through. And the Quran says, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. Shafa'ah is actually for God. No one else can do Shafa'ah. However, He has granted this, delegated this to the Prophet. And therefore, this covering of those actions comes through Shafa'ah. It's not the case that Prophet individually stands and say, I want to do Shafa'ah for this, I want to do Shafa'ah for that. No. The Shafa'ah is something quite systematic and general. It comes through all these, that this is from Ummah of Muhammad, for example. This has followed him, and his Shafa'ah will include him. And in all these, there is an eye of the Prophet, or Prophets, on whoever is going for judgment, to see whether they can do anything about them. Not in the case, as I said, individually, but in the case that these have been somehow attached to some people, and some, of course, dignified people, and therefore that Shafa'ah, whether it is possible for that Shafa'ah to include them or it's not possible. And that is the meaning of Hisab and Yasir. That's the Shafa'ah which comes actually. But it's not mentioned in this way here, since everything is in His hands, He should decide who should be included in Shafa'ah, who should not be included in Shafa'ah. Therefore here there is no mention of that.
Do you want to add something, sister? Thank you. What about the Imams? Do they have the authority to do Shafa'ah?
Yes, the Imams and Mu'minun, Shuhada, all these have this authority to do Shafa'ah. However, there are somehow different grades and delegating one part of Shafa'ah, one level of Shafa'ah, and again the Imam delegating that to some other very good people. We have in Hadith that anyone who has lived for 100 years and have been good and done their worship all through their lives, then they would do Shafa'ah for a large number of their families, for example. So it's all there. As I said, it's not something which comes one by one individually. It's a systematic thing which would include people.
Any other sister before we come to the brothers?
Anyone?
Sheikh, the differences you were mentioning between those sins which can be covered and those that cannot, could the key to that be Tawbah and Istighfar? Because that process itself is a prayer which helps to cover the sin. And also the people who don't do Tawbah and Istighfar, the sins have become a part of them. That's why they cannot do Tawbah.
Yes, to a great extent that's true, but sometimes even for some sins that we have not done Tawbah for, they might also be covered and forgiven. The criterion is that the soul, the heart in itself should not have become evil, should not have turned and changed identity. If it's not changed identity, then we receive our book from right hand. and their sins will be covered. Whether we have repented or not, of course repentances are in our lifetime are determinants whether the heart has turned into evil or not. That's a very important factor. However, if the heart is not turned, has not changed identity to evil, then those are separable. If the identity has turned into evil, then of course it's not separable.
So isn't that the same thing? Because if your identity has become evil, you won't feel any regret. And if it hasn't, you will for every sin feel a regret and remorse. And that is over.
Let us have this hesab on Yasir, easy listening. Don't make things difficult.
I mean in this world, isn't that the same? So we should be careful for that aspect.
We should be careful for that aspect, of course. Certainly. But we hope that even for things we have not done tawbah, inshallah, we will be forgiven there. Let's make it easy, as Allah has made it easy.
Thank you. Any sisters? Sheikh, if a non-believer does anything good in this world, I mean, when I say non-believer, Allah knows best, but say, for example, if Allah was going to put him in hell, he's a non-believer and does good in this world, in his days of barzakh, will he see his goodness, whatever he has done, and feel it? And then on the day of judgment, obviously, he will not see his goodness, but he will be in the hell?
Well, as I said, وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَضَعَ الْمِزَانِ He has raised the heavens, made the creation, put down the scale of justice. And therefore, this system of justice would somehow return every consequence to everyone who has done something, either good or bad. Now, that consequences of good, well, not consequences anymore, the result of good actions would certainly come back to those people. However, at some stages, because these results and consequences, good and evil, which is the outcome of justice, is always with us in different stages. In this world, you do something good, you receive something good. Unless, for example, your life wouldn't be long enough to allow that, and you die and receive it later on. However, even in this world, we do something good, good comes to us. It comes to Barzakh in a different way. On the day of judgment, it comes in a different way. At one stage, Allah stops it for the disbelievers, as He stops consequences of evil for Mu'minun. Why? Because these are the ones who are determined to go to hell. The evil is part of them. Those good consequences cannot be attached to them and go to hell with them. They are real existences. They cannot go to hell. And therefore, Allah would destroy it to allow this person to go to hell. And let's think about it as real things. And this is what Allah has mentioned in different verses of the Quran. That Allah would, وَقَدَمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمَلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ We go forth towards whatever they have done. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ حَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا We just destroy them and make them like scattered dust. So they cannot benefit from it anymore.
Any last point from sisters, and then? No, thank you, Muhammad.